We're going to bring things close to home now here on the final scheduled week of the Illinois General Assembly spring session. Joining me now on the phone is Democratic State Representative Kelly Cassidy of Chicago. Representative, thank you for joining me on the Sunday Spin.
Good morning.
Good
Thanks
morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I wanted to have you on to talk about the Illinois Reproductive Health Act. This is a bill that has, I guess, gained a bit more attention because of what we're seeing in some of the southern, if not surrounding, states around us, where legislatures and governors are enacting much stricter laws involving access to abortion, what a lot of people view are unconstitutional laws that are largely designed to advance a case to the U.S. Supreme Court, and now with its new makeup, the potential of overturning Roe v. Wade. But before we begin and on this bill, I wanted to ask you, because I know that it was kind of sidetracked and for a long time, and I wondered if the initial response was, of course, we had what's known as House Bill 40 previously that was signed into law by Governor Bruce Rauner that basically expanded some abortion rights here for publicly funded abortions for poor women, for state employees, university employees covered by state health insurance, and also contained what was supposed to be called the trigger, that if Roe v. Wade was overturned, that abortions would be legal in Illinois. We have that as law. Then we follow up with the Reproductive Health Act. And I'm wondering if people thought, well, I thought we took care of everything with HB 40, that this might be an over-aggressive reaction to follow up on House Bill 40.
You know, I think that there were folks who didn't really understand the urgency until, as you noted, states around us and around the country started really aggressively attacking the abortion rights. And, House Bill 40 did one really important thing with regard to the trigger, as you mentioned. But frankly, the laws around abortion in Illinois are so out of date and so antiquated that, there were more risks. And as we saw the courts being stacked, the pipelines to the courts getting stacked with cases that were designed to bring Roe down once and for all, it was clear we had to step up and make sure that all of the various bad laws, the restrictions that had been passed over the years but enjoined by the courts, we had to make sure that those were repealed as well. Because I actually think that folks don't necessarily have an awareness that when you get something overturned by the courts, it doesn't magically delete it from the statute. And so these pieces are still in our laws, and when the legal premise for those injunctions goes away, so does that protection. And so we've got laws on our books around spousal consent, having to petition a panel of doctors for consent, waiting periods, criminal penalties for doctors, bans on IVF. In fact, so all of those are sitting there waiting. And what became very clear in recent weeks is that there are cases in the pipeline in the Seventh Circuit that will be decided while we're adjourned. And those decisions, if they go the way we expect, could very well land us back in court arguing to protect these injunctions, and we could lose. And that would bring these laws back to life at a time when Illinois should be defending reproductive rights just as vigorously as these states are attacking it.
Well, and I think, there is that point, and you're right, I think a lot of people didn't understand that, yes, some of these provisions that existed in various previous abortion laws were held in abeyance under court order. That doesn't mean they go away. You have an alternative court ruling that restores that language and restores those laws.
Right. And you know, we anticipate actually one case out of Indiana being decided potentially in a few weeks. So the risk is very real.
We're speaking to Democratic State Representative Kelly Cassidy of Chicago about the Illinois Reproductive Health Act. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio. I'm joined on the phone by Democratic State Representative Kelly Cassidy of Chicago. We're talking about her sponsorship of what's known as the Illinois Reproductive Health Act. Representative, maybe you could just explain, I mean, obviously it repeals those sections of previous Illinois abortion law, but maybe you could explain the other things that this legislation would do.
Sure. In reality, it creates a post-Roe firewall in Illinois to ensure that the standards that Roe set for what is and isn't allowable in terms of restrictions on access to care would become the law of the land of Illinois, in Illinois. And that's based on this assumption that Roe is going to fall and states around the country will successfully outlaw abortion. And Illinois is stepping up to say that's not going to happen here.
It basically establishes a personal right to abortion, doesn't it?
Exactly. It does. It establishes that is a fundamental right. Access to all forms of reproductive health care is a fundamental right. And sometimes I say that and it kind of catches in my mouth on the way out because I want to add, otherwise known as health care. You know, the reality is that, you know, here in the States, we're sort of unusual in that we have such a bizarre, obsessive focus on this particular area that we don't do that with any other form of health care.
And this also requires insurance coverage?
It does. It does. It will require insurance coverage for reproductive health care procedures, including abortion. And that sort of finishes that job that was started with House Bill 40, where we expanded coverage for state employees and for folks using state healthcare systems. So, you know, it closes that loop and ensures that this right is accessible to everyone.
I know that some critics, and, you know, obviously this is always, you know, such a controversial subject, but some of the critics have said that this basically would allow abortion at any time through the 9-month period.
And I will say that's my favorite of the lies being told about this, because it is just such pure paranoid fantasy. The reality here is that, you know, nobody wakes up one day at close to the end of their pregnancy and decides they don't want to be pregnant anymore. That's not real. And no doctor worth their salt is going to perform that procedure. When folks have to access the procedure that late in pregnancy, it's because something catastrophic is happening. And it's just cruel to contemplate otherwise. You know, I have talked to people who've had to terminate a pregnancy late, and it's heartbreaking. It is gut wrenching, and you know that our opponents are trying to make political hay out of family tragedies like that is repulsive.
I'm curious, so as I began, you know, when we were talking about this, about, you know, perhaps this originally being viewed as an overreach following HB 40, but now, obviously, in the kind of political atmosphere that we're in, it has gained new attention. But why was this legislation basically kind of shelved away for so long?
I think it was that question of whether we've really needed to do this right now, and that lack of understanding of the urgency. And frankly, the reality is once once we started to see these more aggressive bills pass around the country, folks sort of looked up and realized how that things really are that bad.
So you say you have a kind of a commitment from Speaker Madigan to move this into committee?
Yeah, we will. Possibly as early as today, we expect to have a committee hearing and advance the bill so that we can present it for a vote and send it over to the Senate. I heard you at the beginning talking about, the last week in, the last week in Springfield is like a year anywhere else, and it's funny because it's almost true. It does feel that way anyway.
Well, and so many things to consider, so much on the plate, so many unresolved issues. I have a story in the Tribune this Sunday with my colleagues about, taking a look at some of the bigger challenges that legislators are faced with as part of Governor Pritzker's agenda.
Yeah, we've got a lot of planes to land, but it's also not that unusual to be heading into the last week with a lot of large moving parts. So I think we're going to be okay, though. Well, it's just going to be a busy week.
do you think we're going to get a resolution on issues like recreational adult use of marijuana?
I hope so. That's also my bill.
That's why I'm asking.
I feel like we're in good shape there as well. Again, that's a really big bill with a lot of moving parts.
There are a lot of moving.
That's engaged.
There are a lot of moving parts there. That's why, yes.
Yeah. And it has been, that process has been great in terms of how collaborative it's been, how many people have really engaged in crafting good policy. So I feel like we're in a good place there.
I mean, obviously, a lot of stakeholders in this because it's not just recreational marijuana. There's restorative justice component to it. There's the revenue component to it as well.
Absolutely.
Which, as you say, a lot of moving parts. What about?
And no other state has really tried to go about it through that lens of equity and restorative justice the way we have. So we want to get it right because we want to be the model that other states follow. With that, especially with regard to that.
What about sports betting?
I have been less engaged in that one. There have been some pretty intractable battles between players there, and we've seen that one play out a few times.
Just a few times, yes.
Well, I mean, the sports betting piece in particular, I mean, the larger gaming bill, obviously, every year is this going to be the year, right? But the FanDuel stuff has only been probably the last 3 years, I think. That one is a little more complicated.
And what about as far as a capital program?
Again, haven't been as engaged in that one. There's only so many big things you can carry at once, right?
I'm just asking your thoughts. I mean, not that you're deeply involved in those negotiations.
Yeah, it sounds like folks are coming together on a capital bill. It's a question of whether we're able to do horizontal and vertical or just horizontal. But that seems to be falling into place as well.
Well, we'll see how all of those things fall into place.
And then there's the budget, right?
Well, that's the easy part, actually. Who could ever imagine that?
I know, right? It's pretty funny. We've got that one pretty well in hand, too. So.
It's a reflection of the work ahead. Democratic State Representative Kelly Cassidy of Chicago, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.